Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Wright with Marriage Missions International, and this is our monthly marriage podcast. This time we're going to be sharing with you simple communication tools. If you were to talk to almost any marriage counselor, they would tell you the number one reason they see couples is because of communication problems. Well, we want to be able to give you some communication tools and tips that can probably help you avoid having to go see that counselor. Let me ask you this. How good are you at mind reading? How about your spouse? If you're anything like Cindy and me, you find mind reading to be a really frustrating experience for both spouses. That's why we sometimes need simple communication tools to help us. How many times have you heard or said similar statements to these?
Well, he or she should know how I feel about this and how it would upset me. He or she has eyes and must see that I could use help. Why do I have to ask for it? No one would have to ask me to do this. Or, if I have to ask for this, why even bother? Do I have to spell everything out that I need from him or her?
So do any of those statements and questions sound familiar?
I have to confess that they sound familiar to me. As a matter of fact, those statements sound a lot like the ones that I often have said to Steve. And sometimes I would just think them out in bitterness within the situation. I wouldn't even give voice to them. But you know, ladies, we have ways that men know when we're upset, and I wouldn't even have to give voice to them. He would just know I'm upset about something, but sometimes he didn't have a clue as to what it was. I'm not saying this was healthy in the way that I did this. It definitely was not. And Steve would do that sometimes with me. And again, we both confess, it definitely was not. In our many years of marriage, we foolishly used these types of statements. Plus, we've used even a few more statements like that, like expecting our spouse to read our mind, which is definitely not a means of communication that is healthy in any way whatsoever. Since then, we've learned better communication skills. We agree with something that Sandra Aldridge once wrote. She said, when mind reading is taken out of the marriage as an expected form of communication, husbands and wives and families can be spared a multitude of unnecessary frustration. In the Bible, God tells us, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Now that's found in Proverbs 24, 3 through 6. So to help us to wage a victorious war against miscommunication, we're going to share several simple communication tools from some gifted advisors.
One of these ideas comes from Dr. Steve Stevens. He says this, often when we get flustered, we don't listen to each other. And then even when we start to listen, we interrupt the other person. He suggests that couples flip a coin to determine who will talk first. The winner of the coin toss then has 3 minutes to talk without being interrupted by the other person. At the end of those 3 minutes, the other person has 3 minutes of uninterrupted time to respond.
That's a great tool, and it's a great suggestion for us to use. Now, here's another great communication tool from the Smart Marriages. A woman explained the following technique, which helped her and her husband. They use it when they're faced with daily decisions like, would you like to watch a movie, or should we have my parents over Thursday evening, or something like that. Not real big decisions, but still, you want an answer to it. So she explained this. She said, sometimes it can be difficult to determine exactly how the other person really feels based on his or her response. So to take the guesswork out of the decision-making equation, we quantify our feelings about a particular proposal by doing the numbers, and here's how it works. First, formulate and state the question. State, like, how much would you like such and such? And then end it with a statement of action like, Do you want to watch a movie or have my parents over Thursday? So the statement would be, how much would you like to watch a movie? Or how much would you like to have my parents over Thursday? In other words, kind of quantify it that way. And then pause for a moment and come up with a number between 1 and 10 that quantifies your feelings about the activity under consideration. 0 means under no circumstance do you want to do it. 10 means you definitely want to do it. 5 means you're completely neutral. I mean, sometimes that's the way I feel. Like Steve will ask me a question, I'll think, I don't really care one way or the other. Why don't you make a decision? Well, when both spouses have a number in mind, count to 3 or just pause, and then call out your numbers. If the total of your numbers is 11 or greater, then do the activity. If the total of your numbers is 10 or less, then don't do the activity.
With this system, you don't end up doing things that neither of you really cares to do. Also, the more forceful personality doesn't have the opportunity to impose his or her will on the more reticent or easygoing spouse. Because you're sharing your numbers at the same time, it's possible to express an honest assessment of how much or how little you want to do something. There won't be as much pressure. Plus, it's an easy tool for anyone to use. You can even have an index card on your refrigerator that outlines these basic steps. That way, it's handy to pull out and use whenever needed. That's a good idea to make sure you keep those tools handy. If you do this, then there's more of a possibility that you'll actually use them. Now, here's another simple communication idea that Tom Kennedy gives. He says, choosing a restaurant can sometimes be a source of frustration for many couples. How often has this conversation played out at your house? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? The next time you find yourselves at a stalemate, try this method. If your spouse asks where you'd like to eat, give 3 options. He or she may either select one of the 3 or ask if you're willing to reverse roles. If you agree to switch roles, you must list 3 options from which he or she can choose, or if you don't agree, he or she must choose from the original 3.
Sandra Aldridge's book, titled Men Read Newspapers, Not Minds, which is out of print, unfortunately, because I love that book. But within that book, she gives another communication tool that you can use, and it's called the creative number technique. Here's what Sandra wrote. She said, while trying to make a decision as to whether to attend a family event, my friend's husband's resignation caught her attention. As she pondered the dilemma, she turned the invitation over. She drew a chart. 5 squares in a row, numbered 1 to 5. Then she labeled each square. Number 1, I really don't want to do this. Another one is, I don't want to do this, but I'm willing to talk about it. Another one was, I don't care one way or another. The other one was, I'd like to do this, but I won't die if we don't. And then, yes, it's very important to me. The lady's husband surprised her how strong he felt on the issue. So after discussing the subject further, so they came up with a plan that made them both agreeable with the decision. And this can be called a win-win solution. Sandra says, that good bonding time would never have happened if she hadn't come up with a better way to communicate with her husband. So you can do the same kind of thing. You can have a card that has 1 to 5 and just put those things in it. If you don't remember it from the podcast, go on to the Marriage Insight and we've got them listed there. But it can be put somewhere close for handy reference at an appropriate time. Refrigerators are a great place. A bulletin board is a great place. We even have a clipboard that has some of our tools in our hallway. And when people go by to go to the restroom and to the bathroom that's across from it, they sometimes ask us questions about these tools and we're able to share it.
Here's still another communication tip that you might want to use. Make a deal with your spouse that when you resolve the conflict, you will do something together that you both enjoy. This could be going out to dinner, watching a movie, or anything else that will motivate you to find a resolution quickly. And then reconnect to each other in a loving way. It makes a positive thing. A lot of times, arguments can go on forever and ever. This way, you get a resolution and then just move on. That's a suggestion from Dr. Steve Stevens.
And that's an important point. Find a way to move on. Now, we're not talking about burying it. We're not talking about making your stand right there and fighting it through to the end where you do it in unhealthy ways. Yes, you can stand there and resolve things, but there's a difference in the way that you do it. You can find the tools that we just mentioned and even more by going to the Marriage Insight, and we have a link to an article called Communication Tools for Couples. You'll find the link within that Marriage Insight posted on our website again. Plus, if you want even more tips like these, you can find them in our communication tools topic, which again is on our website. Look around. They're all free for you to use. But we grabbed a few other ones. So here are a few others that we want to use in this podcast. One of them is called the pencil method. Now, this communication tool comes from the book Happily Ever After, which is written by Tobin and Joanne Heim. They wrote, "Whoever holds a pencil gets to do the talking. The other person may ask clarifying questions, but that's all. And then you flip a coin and get started. Whoever has the pencil should try only to make feeling statements, like I feel this way when you, or I feel this way about this situation. And then after the person with a pencil has said all that he or she has to say, pass the pencil. Now, you can use a pencil, or you can use, Steve and I have a squishy ball. I mean, there's different things. Some people use a pillow. You can use different things. Now, here's further insight on this method from Tobin Heim. He asked the question,
"Do you think couples should seek counseling for conflict?" Tobin says this, "This method may sound too simple. It may not work for you right now. If not, seek counseling when the pencil technique or its equivalent doesn't work. If you're trying to listen to each other, but it just isn't working, or if the issue is so hot that you're simply unable to listen to each other, then it's time to get a third-party mediator to help you work through it. Some couples may think it's a sign of weakness to get that kind of help, but just the opposite is true. It's a sign of strength, and I can tell you, Cindy and I, over the course of our marriage, have had to go in to see a marriage counselor when we've gotten stuck in an issue that we just couldn't resolve." Now, Tobin goes on to say this, "I have couples that come to me for help after 15 years regarding an issue that they've struggled with for every one of those 15 years. And others come in after a month of marriage. Yet, who do you think is better off?" Here's another tool that we refer to often. It's one that has sure helped us. It's titled the HALT method of dealing with issues. We aren't sure who originally came up with this method, but it's one of the good communication tools to consider when you have something, anything, important to discuss. Most of us realize that timing can be essential in having a spouse truly hear what you're trying to communicate. That's when the HALT method is important to use. When we say HALT method, we're thinking of the letters H-A-L-T. So halt yourself from trying to talk about anything important or that could cause conflict when either of you is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If either of you is experiencing any of these, don't say it yet. You have less success of things going in a good direction with what you're trying to discuss. Ask the Lord to show you a better time and the best way to say it. Halt times can close off a partner from truly hearing and listening to what you are trying to really communicate.
And that goes into the next point, the next tool. Also, keep your arguments private to the best of your ability. Here's what Dr. David Clark wrote on this matter. He said, "Choose one place in your home where you'll deal with conflict. Make it a neutral place. It could be an office, a spare bedroom, or a back porch. This is the only place you talk through conflicts." Now, that means when it's remotely possible. I mean, there are some times when you're out and about and things are different, but when you can, try to choose one place. Limiting your conflicts to this place will ensure that your conflicts won't infect the special places in your home. It's kind of a psychological thing. Conflicts can start anywhere, but your agreement is that you'll want to deal with the issues in this conflict place. This place must be private. If your conflict place isn't a room with a door, then confine the kids to their rooms during your conflict times. Just say mom and dad are going to be having a private talk, so stay in your rooms. If you have teens, this won't be a problem because they'll already be in their rooms. If you have small kids, wait until they're in bed or make them stay in their rooms as you talk. You may need to modify this advice if you're on vacation or whatever, but please do what you can to be considerate of others around you. And I know we want to resolve it right away, get through it right then, but it's so important that we don't drag others into this. So use this next related tool when you come to one of those types of times when you have a conflict. It's one that we encourage you to put into your mind to recall when it's needed, and it's called STOP, S-T-O-P. Stop arguing, see the other people, S-T-O-P, see the other people. Be considerate of their wants, not just your impulse to argue it out. Stop and see the other people, and be considerate of each other. As James Bardot says, keep it private. Nobody wants their dirty laundry aired in front of others, and violating this rule becomes especially painful when our private business or our faults are exposed by someone that we love. So not only do other people not want to be with you when you're arguing with each other, you shouldn't expose your spouse to this invasion of privacy. It shows that you are not valuing your spouse as a marriage partner, and that's who your spouse is, a marriage partner.
When you're tempted to argue when it's not a good time, remember, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:18. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Proverbs 14:29.
And here are a couple of other scriptures to keep in mind. The first one is Proverbs 29:11, which says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." And in Proverbs 17:28, we see, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Those are important to keep in mind when we're conflicting with each other. Sometimes we're just so focused on ourselves and wanting to get it done that we forget that there's scriptural reasons why we're supposed to sometimes halt. There's scriptural reasons why sometimes we're supposed to stop and see the other people. These are all communication tools that we share again in the insight that we hope helps in some way. Also, if you have a communication tool or a technique that you found is beneficial in your marriage, we really encourage you to post it on the Marriage Missions website so that it can help others. It's important to live, learn, and pass it along so that the positive ripple effect can multiply its benefits. If you keep all that information to yourself, just think how much it can help other people. The Bible tells us pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So you can give advice, we can give advice, we can all take advice. We hope the above tools will help you leave pride behind and truly work toward approaching communication in a wise manner.
Well, that's our Marriage Insight, and we want to remind you that if you'd like to hear other podcasts of past Marriage Insights, or if you're looking for more help for your marriage, just go to the website. It's marriagemissions.com. Cindy and I also wrote a book called 7 Essentials to Grow Your Marriage. It's available both in electronic and print form. This would be a good resource to help you build your own personal marital team, or maybe give it as a gift to a couple getting married to help them get off on the right foot. For more information on all of this, just go to our website at marriagemissions.com. Until the next Marriage Insight podcast, we're Steve and Cindy Wright, hoping you'll make it your mission to reveal and reflect the heart of Christ within your marriage.